guest, the very, very wonderful artist.
Does anyone know who he is?
Well, I hope
so. In this town? Oh, I don't think so.
We are talking about Mr. Ross Watson. Thank you so much for coming in.
Hi, guys. How are you? Good.
Now, rather than go into your complete backstory, let's do a little bit more of a modern update. What the heck have you been up to recently? Where have you been come back from?
Well, not long back from a month in Europe, which is London, Paris, then Berlin, and looking at a lot of art. So one of the standouts was queer British art at Tate Britain. So the paintings and sculpture and drawings and photography covering, I think, about 150 years through until homosexuality was decriminalized in Britain. And one of the most moving and affecting works that I saw was, we came to a full-length portrait of Oscar Wilde, a painting, and reading the text, learning that he was forced to sell his possessions.
He was put in jail.
Case. Yeah. That's right. And a woman friend, I read, bought the painting at auction, and then her husband refused to allow to be hung in the family home.
Right.
Horrible. And then hanging right next to that painting, and the same dimensions, this tall, slim shape, the very prison door that he was from Reading Jail.
Wow.
And mounted to the museum wall.
Wow.
And that had great impact.
Yeah.
But of course, I thought, well, you know, we're in 2017, but there are so many countries, unfortunately, where, GLBTI folk are facing the same thing and being imprisoned and being harassed and locked up and worse. So, but look, a terrific exhibition, fantastic examples of both David Hockney and Francis Bacon, who, of course, wasn't so fond of David Hockney, but hanging side by side in the exhibition.
Maybe they did it on purpose.
I wonder.
Yeah.
I wonder.
So how important is it for an artist like you, who you're very out with the style of painting you do? It's very much who you are as a person, and to see an exhibition on that scale of people from our community over such a many years. What sort of impact did it have on you?
It was just fantastic to see, and to see artists whose work I've been looking at, particularly in London since I first went there when I was 18. So Burne Jones, for example, one of the most prominent figures in the Pre-Raphaelite movement, and to see his work in the exhibition, and because many of them are very homoerotic, the male nudes. So to see it in that context, with under the general banner of sort of queer British art from 150 years, it was interesting.
And to take David's point even further, did it make you feel about your own practice thankful to do whatever you like to do?
It was a reminder of that, but I have often thought about that over the years, and reading articles about, even more recently, and the crackdowns in Turkey, and just horrible the way there's so many countries. I mean, Indonesia, our neighbours, where religious extremism is on the rise, and there are so many artists around the world that can't fully express themselves.
Mm. And the crackdown in Russia now too, which we're not really seeing it within the art world so much at this stage, but it's going to have impact for people from our community.
Yeah, sure.
So thank you for these two pieces that's going to be part of the art auction on Thursday. What's next for you? What are you working on? Or don't you want to say at this stage?
Well, it's I've only just sort of duck my head into the studio today, having not I've actually had an unusually long break from painting,
which is probably good for you, isn't it?
Well, I think I just I finally reached a point in my career, like 5-6 months ago. Well, after the last Sydney exhibition, my Mardi Gras exhibition, so that was the point where I just needed, I think, some time out, and but it's been good. And then having the last month in Europe, coming back and feeling recharged and inspired, and worked with a wonderful model in London, a guy who I'd come across on Instagram, and he does the most wonderful Instagram posts, and has a lot of people engaging with him, and I really respect that he's so passionate about so many issues, and he's very I admire the fact that he's able to be very candid about himself and mental health issues, depression, and suffering from anxiety. And when Stephen and I, you know, we had 3 or 4 hours with him in London when he modeled, and when we all had lunch together, and you know, he just presents as a very intelligent, considerate, professional guy. He's got an incredible job for a 26-year-old, and you know, it's a reminder that there's a lot of people that appear to have everything together that can still suffer from bouts of debilitating kind of self-doubt and anxiety and those things. So he posts about those things, whereas really, you know, in social media, I think it is true that most people are showing a kind of a very positive side to their lives, or you know, how they look. And you know, I'm astonished the number of people I'm seeing, even people that I know, that you can see they're using these filters and things, and I'm thinking, you know, there's not one line on this guy's face. And you know, I had dinner with him last week, and I know better. You know, it's an interesting world, yeah, isn't it, of social media. So, anyway, so I'm looking forward to starting this painting of Lex. And he's a rugby player. He's on the rugby team, the gay rugby team in London. And they do fantastic fundraising for the Terence Higgins Trust, which we were fundraising for my last London exhibition, which we were thrilled Ian McKellen opened. I'm very excited about creating this this painting.
Excellent. Now, the two pieces that you've donated for the Joy Art Auction,
yes,
what are they?
So the two edition prints. One features Matthew Mitchum, and he's engaging the viewer, and he's a classical work that I referenced is by Bronzino, and I think it's one of my favorite portraits by Bronzino, a portrait of a young man who was believed to be a sculptor. And there's actually a on the left-hand side of the artwork, you see the a male torso, a sculptural piece. So both figures are engaging us, but of course Bronzino's young man is looking very formal and sort of stern, and in contrast, and because my work is full of so many contrasts, I'm drawn to Matthew as just, you know, kind of almost goofing it up, and he's got a half a smile, and is really looking very playful, and he's shirtless and holding this sort of I was struck by this lime green iPhone, or you know, smartphone that he had. So the colors in that artwork, the most dominant colors are the kind of red and the green, so these complementary opposites, if you like. That's been a very popular edition print. And the second edition print features Bellamy's original golden boy, Lucas Ridgestone, in a work that really is much more kind of surrealist inspired, where he's holding up. Actually, the setting came from northern Queensland, so these stunning mountains, but by the ocean, and Lucas is holding up this gigantic sort of Roman sculptural bust, this beautiful
that's stunning
bust, yeah. Yeah, and then he's
sitting
he's
on top of
but he's surrounded by these I was somewhere traveling overseas and I saw on the street a huge pile of they'd just been thrown out, like older computers, computer screens, so you know, a reference to our disposable society. Anyway, so it's a very colourful work, and that's from my Cycles and Sequences series, where I was exploring, well, the cycles of life and the way that some things have very short lives, like the butterflies. There are segments of, or full complete butterflies in the scene, and or just wings. So some butterflies live for as little as is it a day or something, and yet this Roman bust that Lucas is holding has survived 2,000 years or something. So,
and the computer screens are so disposable, aren't they?
That's right. Yeah. That's right. So that's also been a very popular edition print. Yep. They're both hand signed and they're both editions of 45.
Fantastic. Again, thank you so much. How long does it take for you to get an exhibition together? You know, like you're starting on this one that you were working on in London.
Yes.
Is this beginning of a new exhibition that you're working on, or is it just a one-off?
It will be included in the next Melbourne and Sydney exhibitions,
which will be at the beginning of next year.
Melbourne, I think we've decided to have the first exhibition like we did last year, actually in November.
Oh, that's right.
Because so many people get so busy through the sort of January, February, and then some collectors of my work are actually overseas late January, early February.
So it'll be November.
That's right. Yes.
So you've got some work to do.
Yes. Well, there are. We've decided. Actually, what was it? About 6 months ago, I was fortunate to be able to purchase back a work that I'd made when I was just 26, and. I think it's an outstanding example of very early work, and decided I'm going to include that. So there'll be works that everyone's never seen before. People have never seen before, excited about it.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
Ross, thank you so much for coming in today.
That's my pleasure.
And thank you for these two prints, which are going to do extremely well on Thursday night. And it's always a treat to have you around. And thank you for your wonderful art. You just do fantastic stuff.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks for having me on.
Pleasure.
Okay.
You're on Sunday Arts Magazine on Joy 94.9.